seeking a better way to deepen your walk with the Lord and develop that daily habit of staying in His Word every day this new year? Well, at Treasured Ministries, we've got you covered. We believe that the best way to do this is to glean truths from any passage in the Bible you study and to use those words to nourish your soul. And that's exactly why we developed the Nourish Notebook. We saw a need to provide women with something more than just another Bible study journal. We saw a need to offer supportive community and a customizable tool that takes you on a life-changing journey through God's Word. And not only did we want to just give you a notebook, we wanted to kickstart your journey and help you develop that habit by providing you with a free online course with the purchase of the Nourish Notebook. And starting in January, inside of our private Facebook group called the Treasured Tribe, I'm going to be leading a group of women through the 21-day challenge. And so, if you're like me, you want God's confidence in your life. You want to know His direction for your decisions, and you want to uncover more about the truth, about who He is and who you are in Him. I want to invite you to start your new year in the best way possible by joining me and some other pretty amazing women inside of our Treasured Tribe. To discover more, I want you to go to www.treasuredministries.com/nourishnotebook. And for the ease of your use, this link is right inside today's podcast description. And now, on to today's podcast, where we're going to be talking about shifting your focus to overcome the fear of failure and the pressure of perfectionism. Ready? Let's do this. Hey everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. And I gotta say, Merry Christmas to you. And today, we're gonna dive into that Christmas story. I gotta tell you, what I love most about God's Word is that I can read a passage in the Bible and go back to it and find something completely new. And that's exactly how it is with any passage of the Bible. And every year at this time of year, I always love reading through the Christmas story and uncovering whatever God's treasure that He wants to share with me through His Word. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. Because where God has me in my life is teaching me about how my perfectionism is making me passive, how my fear of not wanting to make a mistake or making sure I'm inside of God's will. Now, these are all good things, but when they tip over to the place of I cannot make a mistake, I have to be perfect, well, then we can fear just stepping out at all. And when we don't have that confidence in our decision making, that can lead to doubt and indecisiveness, and really indifference. I mean, the enemy can really use that to douse the passion in your life for pursuing your purpose, and then we don't do anything at all. Over Thanksgiving, one of the things that we do every year is we eat Thanksgiving dinner, not only with family, but with really good friends of ours. In fact, they're such close friends that their children, I would consider them like my niece and nephew. So we were all talking together and we were all very excited because one of their daughters was getting ready to interview with a company that she had dreamed about interviewing with since she was little. and there was an internship opportunity that she became aware of, and she really wanted to interview for it, but she wanted to make sure that she was in God's will. She currently has a great job, and what if this wasn't God's will, and what if she didn't get the job offer, and all these sorts of things started playing through her head, and her father very wisely shared this wisdom with her. He said, if you don't try, if you don't put yourself out there, you're already deciding for God. You're not even giving God the opportunity to allow him to open that door for you. And as he was sharing that, I thought, good wisdom. And then it was like the Holy Spirit nudged my heart and said, you need to listen to this, Aline. Because here's the thing. This is what I know about this young lady, the one that is just like a niece to me. She has a heart for Jesus. She has a heart for Christ. And I know that her not wanting to put her resume out there was not a lack of faith. I think that it came from her sincere heart that wanted to make absolute sure that she was inside of God's will. And sometimes that's where my doubt can spring from. I mean, I'll get a word from God, and then the next day, one little thought of doubt will seep in, and I'll say to myself, well, did I really hear God say that? Or what if I'm making a mistake? Or what if I fail? You know, the studies show us that people that are successful, and success to Christ followers, that means that we're pursuing our purpose, that with our lives, we're just shining a light back to Christ. But the most successful people, they don't fear failure. But let's get real. That downward spiral of doubt can create indecisiveness, and it often springs from that fear. Did I hear God correctly? What if I fail? Well, in today's podcast, and this is actually going to be a two-part podcast, but in part one of today, I'm going to be unlocking God's truth in His Word so that you can shift your focus to overcome that fear of failure and the pressure of perfectionism. Ready? So let's get started. So the first thing that I want to say is that Christmas reminds us that you and I can have confidence in God's counsel. No matter the step that He's asking us to take, big or small, that we can have confidence in His direction for our life. Because inside of prophecy, the Christmas prophecy especially, we see this. We find that we have a wonderful counselor. One of my favorite Bible verses about the Christmas season is this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God is our wonderful counselor. And also inside of the Christmas story, inside of the Gospel of Matthew, it talks about the fact that the word, that God is Emmanuel, that Jesus meant that God was with us. Well, not only is that wonderful counselor now with us, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. And so you and I have access to the Holy Spirit 24/7. And in the book of John, when Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit is like a counselor, that he guides us into all truth. So the first thing is that Christmas reminds us that we have a wonderful counselor. And sometimes we can feel like we're all alone and we don't have anybody, but we need to remember that truth. Now, the thing about the Holy Spirit that can sometimes we may not go to the Holy Spirit first, we might run to a friend first or another person first, is because, well, I can't really see the Holy Spirit, right? Like, I can see God working. I can hear him speak to me through his word. But, you know, our need for instant gratification, I need to know what to do now, that kind of thing. Sometimes we will pick up the phone before we go to the throne, right? And sometimes we may even falsely believe, and this is a big thing. I want you to hear me on this, especially for women. Sometimes we falsely believe, well, God is not going to speak to me. Like, he might speak to my pastor, he might speak to my small group leader, but he might not speak to me. And see, all of us are craving leadership in our life. We want to know direction and path. And even those who are still searching for God, they want to know direction in our life. And God tells us that the Holy Spirit is there with us to lead us and guide us. But sometimes when we're fearful, when we're stressed out, when we want an answer right away, or when other leadership maybe in our life failed us, then we will quickly want to call a friend or assume that this person has all the answers that we don't have. And sometimes what we might say is, God, I want to seek wisdom from a king instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like the lowercase king, K-I-N-G. In other words, we will just listen to podcasts or we'll just listen to our pastor, but we don't have that daily relationship with Jesus. And see, this is important. And the reason why it's important is because not somebody with a title, just because someone is a title doesn't mean you automatically trust them. And there is not a perfect human. There's a perfect God, and he's the one that leads you. But humans aren't perfect. In fact, one thing that I teach my children to do is whenever we listen to a sermon, that you just don't take what they're saying as the absolute truth, that you need to back it up and compare it with scripture and make sure that this is God's leading, right, for your life. Now, in the book of Samuel, we see that the Israelites cried out to God for a king. And God warned them on this and said, you know, you don't want to do this because the king is going to take over control of your life. But they did it anyway. But you see, the solution is that God wants to be king in our life. He wants to be our wonderful counselor. He wants to be our Prince of Peace, right? And so, but when we assign that role over to somebody else, essentially, what we're doing is we're taking our free will, and your free will is a precious gift from God that he's given you to guard and to give back to him. But we just give it away. We just give it away to other people. We don't want the responsibility of making a decision because, like, what if we're wrong? Or that person is always smarter than you. And, you know, these are all lies from the enemy. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need wise counsel, and we're going to be getting into that into part two of this podcast, but what I am saying is that there is not a human alive who is perfect when you look inside at the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. We see two scenarios where two people are following the Lord and are a part of this Christmas story and are a part of Jesus's awesome birth. And one is Joseph and the other are the wise men. And do you remember that the wise men were very careful when they left Jesus to go back by a different route because they didn't want to bump back into Herod because Herod wanted to kill this new king. See what I mean? If they had said, well, I should always listen to what this king says. This king is always right. And sometimes we just give people more reign over our decisions than they should have. And when that happens, when you give that right to somebody, it creates a soul tie in your life. Oftentimes, we think of soul ties as just being created through sexual relationships. And that is true. But When we surrender our will, our decision-making power over to one person and God isn't first, that's a problem. And if that's happening in your life, well, you need to revisit that and you need to break it. And one of the ways that you can break it is by remembering that you can have confidence in God's counsel. And that's why it's so important every day to sit at his feet, right? And to gain his wisdom and his truth for your life. Now, also from the Christmas story, from that Isaiah passage, we see this truth. And I love this because the Christmas story is filled with prophecy fulfilled. For example, in Matthew chapter 2, when we're looking at this story of the wise men, it talks about the fact that when the wise men came to Herod, that Herod asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And the wise men respond, "In Bethlehem in Judea." And then Matthew records prophecy. He says, "This was to fulfill a prophecy. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people of Israel." And so there you see prophecy fulfilled inside of the Christmas story. And we see this over and over and over again. The fact that Jesus would be born of a virgin, that was prophecy. And Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, points this out, that this happened so that prophecy would be fulfilled. So when you think about Christmas, when you're singing those Christmas carols, let it build your faith. Let it remind you that God is the ultimate promise keeper. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. And so you and I can count on his word. And while we know that, and while we have faith in God and in his word, sometimes I think that we doubt ourselves. We wonder, did I really hear God correctly? Or we might step out in faith, but then something happens crazy, like there's a difficulty, or we start pursuing our purpose, or maybe it's something little, like God told us to forgive somebody, and we do it, and that person responds with more anger and hate, and we think, well, did I really hear right from you, God? When those waves of life come crashing in, and then we can begin to doubt. And then there's like this crazy wrestling that goes on in our head. Did I really hear from God? And we go back and forth. And then we have to start saying, you know, is it what I am seeing with my eyes, or is it what God is saying to me? Think about Joseph in the Christmas story. What he saw was Mary. She was pregnant. They weren't married yet. But what God was saying to him was that this happened by the Holy Spirit. And you really have to think about that. Joseph had this amazing faith who took God at his word. Did he doubt at times? The Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe he did. And if doubt comes into our life, we don't need to feel like we're a bad Christian. We need to realize that as completely human. And I think that Joseph, we can tell because he, even though initially when he thought, Mary was pregnant, that he could have, the ramifications from that were not just divorce. It could have been much worse, but he did not want to disgrace her. So we know that Joseph was a man who wanted to do right, wanted to do good. And because of that, he stopped, he sought the Lord, and he ended up doing the right thing. But sometimes that wanting to do the right thing, that question, did I really hear from God? That is what can make us sink when we step out of the boat. Now, I'm going to take you to that story that I'm referring to later on in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 14, very familiar story in the Bible, but do you remember when the disciples were inside of a boat and Jesus wasn't with them just yet, but then all of a sudden there was crazy strong wind and heavy waves that came up. And then the Bible says that that Jesus walked on water towards them. And at first they were fearful and they cried out and they said, "It's a ghost." And this is in Matthew chapter 14. I'm starting to read in verse 27. "But Jesus spoke to them at once, 'Do not be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage, I am here.'" Verse 28. "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.'" Now let's just pause there. See, at first they doubted, even though Jesus said, "I am here." Maybe they believed for a second, but then Peter wants to know. He's asking God, "Is this really you?" And there's nothing wrong with that. And you see, when Peter asks him, "Lord, if this is really you, then tell me to come to you walking across the water." And you know, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, that if we need wisdom, that we should ask, right? That we should ask. But then it says, "But when we ask him, 'Be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind.'" And doesn't that happen to us when doubt makes its debut? I mean, it's like we believe one minute and we have faith the day we hear from God, and then the next day that little seed of doubt comes in, and then this wrestling starts to happen inside of our mind. Well, that's what happened with Peter. Although it didn't just take a day, it took a second, and I can't blame him. I mean, there were waves everywhere. But so Jesus says, "Yes, come." And then it says, "So Peter went out over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." And so in one moment, and we need to give Peter credit for this, right? Like, he stepped out of the boat. That's a pretty bold, courageous step. And he starts walking to Jesus on the water. But as soon as he sees the waves, the doubt kicks in, the fear kicks in, and he begins to sink. And can't you identify with that? How our faith can be strong. We can hear a word from God about a decision we need to make or a path that he wants us to pursue. And then the next day, we wonder, well, why are all these waves? Did I really hear from God on this? Well, you know, our faith is like present tense, right? Like, you can't build up a bank of faith. In other words, we need faith every day, every second. And that's why it's important to stay inside of God's word, to keep our eyes focused on him. Because as soon as Jesus, it says, Jesus immediately reached down and grabbed him and said, "You have so little faith. Why do you doubt me?" And so Jesus rescues Peter and he catches his attention and he speaks to him. And when Jesus does that with us, he can catch our attention too. But what I want you to see is that sometimes we may not even get out of the boat, right? We may not even make a decision because we're so fearful. What if we're right? What if we're wrong? What if we didn't hear from God right? And then we may not even take any steps at all. Inside of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, there's this really great parable. And the parable goes like this. This is the parable of the three servants. And it starts in verse 14. There's a man that goes on a long trip and he entrusts three servants with money while he's gone. And it says that to one he gave five bags, to the other two, and to the other one. The two servants that had the five and the two bags put their resources out there. It says this, they began to invest the money they earned, and they earned five more. And then it says a servant with two bags went to work and earned two more. But then it says the servant that received only one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And so then the master comes back and he praises the servants that had the five and two bags because they put it out there and they invested it and it multiplied. But to the servant that only did one bag, listen to what the servant said. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. God wants us to step out of the boat. And just like Peter, if we make a mistake, if we get our eyes off of him, he's going to reach out. He's going to rescue you. But here's the thing. Jesus will give you a command. He will give you talents and treasures to use, but it is our choice to put ourselves out there and pursue them. So we talked about the fact that, number one, we can just doubt, you know, what God is saying because we fear perfectionism. We also talked about the fact that we can sometimes release that responsibility of making decisions because we're so afraid to make them, and we assign it to a person. We assign it to a king. But the other thing that can happen to us is that we decide to be king in our life because of past mistakes. And we say to ourselves, I never want to make a mistake again. And so we decide that we're going to be in control and we're never going to step out of the boat, right? We're never going to make this mistake. And we start to live this life of control. And it comes from that past fear, the past fear of mistakes. But you know what? I mean, it's like if we were Peter, we would say, you know what? I'm just going to stay in the boat because last time I got out of the boat, I didn't listen. I sank. You know, Jesus said, why do I have such little faith? So what I'm going to do this time is I'm just going to stay in the boat and then I won't make any mistakes at all. You know, when you're doing that, I think God understands your sincere heart, but really, really, you're playing God. You're making decisions for God. And oftentimes, what I've seen inside my own life is that when I've blown it, when I've made mistakes, when I've fallen flat on my face, and when I have a heart that comes to God and repents and confesses and realizes the mistakes that I made, God will open up doors for me to do the same thing again, but this time he redeems it. I've seen him do that in friendships, in relationships, in bad decisions that I've made. But if I sit fearfully and never make a decision, then I don't give God the opportunity to redeem it. So can you relate to any of this? And what do we do about it? Because you and I, we want to be like the wise men. We want to be like Joseph. We want to be, you know, operating off of making our decisions, having confidence in them, no matter what King Herod says, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we see, we want to make decisions over what God says. And when God says it, like it says in the book of James, we must hold on to what he says and not doubt, or else we'll be double-minded. And, well, we just won't be productive inside of our purpose. And not only that, but we'll live a life of worry and fear. So are you ready to be free? Don't you want that childlike faith like Mary had in the Christmas story where the Holy Spirit came to her, or through an angel came to her and said, you are going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. And she said, may it be to me as the Lord has said. That's the kind of childlike faith that I want. one that doesn't worry so much if I'm right or wrong. Not that that's not a good thing. We should want to seek inside of God's will. But if it's tipped over to a point where perfectionism is our main goal, well, we've made ourselves God. We've decided to reign. And we need to release all that. And it's important because your purpose matters. So how do we do this? We do this by shifting our focus. Now, go back to Peter. When Peter had stepped out of the boat, when he had his eyes on Jesus, he was good. When he shifted his focus to external things, in his case, the waves, then he became fearful. And that is what happened to him, and that's what will happen to us. If we are internally referenced to the Holy Spirit, remember Emmanuel, God with us, God within us, then we will have life, peace, and confidence in our decisions. The minute you and I become externally referenced, what other people are saying, what we're seeing, our circumstances, that's when doubt can make its debut. It's about shifting your mindset. And this shift is not a one and done thing. It's a daily decision. It's a moment by moment decision that you and I have to make. But it's one that yields freedom and it yields peace. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want inside of my new year. In fact, I spoke at a women's conference, and one of the things that they did at the women's conference with another speaker is they had the speaker walk us through creating a vision board, and it was a lot of fun. And one of the things that we did was go through magazines and cut out pictures that that reminded us of our vision. And one of the pictures that I cut out was a little girl running through this field of flowers. And I thought, I want childlike faith. I want to follow Christ with greater courage, greater passion than I ever had before. I want to live a life that completely trusts my Savior no matter what waves I face. Because the opposite of that is worry and fear and doubt. And that's not good for you. It doesn't fulfill you, and it's certainly not good for your health. And the key is making that shift away from your flesh, what you see, what other people are saying, to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn now to Romans chapter 8 and read to you this scripture. And I just want you to think through it as I'm reading it. It's Romans 8 starting in verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living within you, Emmanuel, God with you, remember? And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. And because you have been made right with God, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies in the same way. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. If you live by the dictation of doubt, you will die, right? But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And how do we do that? Well, when you back up to verse 5, it tells us, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. And so, living that life where your mind is set on the Holy Spirit, When that is your filter for making decisions, you will have confidence, you will have life, and you will have peace. And it won't be peace because there are no waves around you. It will be peace because you have heard the Holy Spirit speak to you. And one of the most powerful ways that you can do that is to develop the daily habit of spending time with God in His Word in a way that makes room for the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly why at Treasured Ministries, we've developed the Nourish Bible Study method. We wanted to create a method that allowed women to hear from God. In fact, one of the big things, remember when I talked about how we always want a king and we want, you know, to just release that responsibility to something else. There's something powerful about hearing God speak to you personally. It gives you confidence to make your own decisions as a woman. And when I developed the Nourish Bible Study method, what I wanted more than anything is for women to know that God would speak to them personally through His Word. Now, I also know as a woman, you're like me. You're juggling a million responsibilities. And that daily time in God's Word seems like this awful goal that you can't reach. Well, you know what? I understand that too. And that's why we developed not only the Nourish Notebook, but our 21-day challenge. Inside the 21-day challenge, we dive into God's principles on habit. And step by step, every day, I show you exactly how to cultivate this habit. And in the beginning of January, we are going to, inside of our private Facebook group, take the 21-day challenge together. So it's a great time to do this. Not only, you know, the holiday rush is going to be over, but we're all ready with our New Year's resolutions. And one of the most important ways you can keep that resolution is to have an accountability group. And I've got to tell you, I am loving the women that are in the Treasured Tribe. We just started this group in November, and it has been amazing. There's been women from all over the world, Australia. It's so exciting. Everywhere, Australia, Nigeria. So we are super excited. Imagine doing Bible study with women all over the world. Women who, like you, want to pursue Christ with a passion, want to shed that perfectionism so that you can run after your purpose with courageous faith. And one of the biggest ways that you can do that is developing that daily time in God's Word. And so I want to invite you to join us. One of the best Christmas gifts you can give to yourself is to give yourself the Nourish Notebook. Now, we've been developing this notebook for over 3 years now. We've worked with other small groups and gotten feedback from them, and I'm super excited about this product because I truly believe that as women of faith, we can connect to the words of Jesus in a way that gives us confidence, victory, and freedom in whatever season we're in, whether we see waves or not. And I don't know about you, but I'm saying no more living a life of defeat. Jesus is calling us to receive more of Him, and we have a choice to how we can respond. I want you to see in 2020 what He's calling you to do because you matter. Your life matters. You were designed to make a difference. So if you want to find out more, I want you to go to this website, www.treasuredministries.com/nourishnotebook. And hey, invite a friend to join you. Give yourself this gift for Christmas. Join the Treasured Tribe and take a journey with us as we walk together following Christ, and in fellowship with one another. In next week, I'll be sharing part two of this message, giving you three steps to put this into practice. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.